Yes, there it is. She's live on Facebook, y'all. Okay, good. Golly, it's so good to be back.
You want to do not disturb?
Huh?
You turn your phone to do not disturb.
I need a cube. Oh, I haven't turned to do not disturb. Let me put do not disturb. You gonna get the Instagram? You gonna get that together?
Watch off.
I'll watch off. So, you all, I'm back. I took a long, it seemed like spring break was like 2 weeks. It felt like it, but it wasn't. I had a fantastic spring break, but it's good to be back. I came back, rolling around. Do I need this extra light?
No.
Let me see. I don't need this extra light. This light in my face is good. Yes. For the people in the back, yes, did y'all hear my drop? Let me see. Let me get back on into the studio, y'all. We got a good show planned today. Because today, I'm all into talking about racism, y'all. I mean, not like racism, but like, you know, the anti-racism, you know, the diversity, equity, and inclusion, which I kind of think is like a total fraud. But I did a, why am I looking so fair-skinned? I got a big old tan when I was in the Bahamas, but it doesn't look like it. It looks like I'm on the other side of the plantation. Let me see if I can, let me bring some warm light to my face. I need to look browner. What's happening over here? Something's going wrong with my coloring. I look like Beyonce when she's in print, not Beyonce in person. Anyway, we don't have time to worry about that. I'm going to be talking a lot about what's going on in America today, what they're doing to Ketanji, who, you know what, you guys, let me just say, you're gonna have a lot to listen to on today's show, because I'm going to be talking about, let me hear my sound. The sound is good. The sound is good. The sound is great. Today, I have my sparkling water. But yeah, today I'm going to be talking a lot about race. I'm having a pull. I can't reach my... I'm caught up underneath the thing. Can we do a microphone check? Can you hear me on the microphone? Microphone check. One, two, check, 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 check. When is the Grammys? You know?
April.
When? April?
Give me a second.
When is the Grammys? Okay, anyway... So I'm talking a lot about diversity, equity, and inclusion because I really am like, golly, I don't believe it's actually something that is, I know it's necessary, but there is no diversity without first having equity, okay? I'm going to say that more on the air. What I mean is, it doesn't matter if you got a few black or brown or Asian faces in the building, if they're not treated as equal and they're not included in the inner workings of the company. I'm going to say that more on the air. But I don't really, I mean, it doesn't behoove me to see like three or four black people hired for a job when they're not included in anything. They're not giving the advancement opportunities, or they're not given any voice. They're not giving a stake in the company, and they're just made there, they're put there for a quota. And that's exactly what I believe the quota system is. It's like, you have diversity, but there's no equity and inclusion. And without equity and inclusion, why be diverse? Anyway, I'm gonna talk about that more on the air, because I was the moderator of a workshop over the weekend on Saturday at my sorority conference. It was the 90th sorority conference for my, 90th regional conference for my sorority. And I thought it was great. I was the moderator for the DEI workshop, the legal perspective or whatever, and I knocked it down. I killed it in the game. I know it was fire, because at the end of the conference, everybody kept telling me, oh my God, it was fire. They used the exact words fire, F-I-R-E. So I did what I came to do. I set the stage on fire, and I allowed the conversation to go into a space where people could be real and say what their real concerns were, because...
30 seconds.
Okay, we have 30 seconds. So do you have my stories out? What do I have? Yes. What's my first story up? There was nothing really going on in the gossip realm. It was kind of like...
Wendy Williams.
Wendy Williams was a little bit of gossip. Kanye was a little bit of gossip. But there wasn't really anything very interesting that I wanted to actually spend my time on. I really just wanted to spend my time on things that matter. And I am going to go hit up a little bit of the celebrity news that I didn't get to talk about a couple of weeks ago before I left on vacation. But I do want to talk about Caitlyn Jenner. Is this my lead up?
Yeah.
Where's my other phone? Where's my Instagram phone? You got it. Get on the job. You took my phone. Where is it? Did you set it up? Where's my Instagram phone? See, this is what, so my producer, I need you to set up my Instagram phone.
Okay, do you want to come on air?
Hello and happy Thursday, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's been a long time since I spoke with you all. What happened to you while I was gone? Did you all miss me? I hope you did. Well, I took a week and a half. It seemed like a week and a half for my spring break with my daughter and my family. We all went on a cruise to the Bahamas. And you know, I got to thinking while I was on the cruise. Now, when you're on a cruise, there's something different about it. I like cruises. I haven't gone on a cruise in like 10 years since the beginning of my marriage. But we went on this cruise. It was the first time for Kennedy and Lincoln. We had a great time. We went on a week-long trip to the Bahamas on Royal Caribbean. And while we stopped at our first port of call, which was the Bahamas, I opted for the family not to get off the boat. Now, you may be thinking, oh my goodness, well, what was the point? Well, here's the thing. Number one, there was more stuff to do on the boat than there was to do off in the Bahamas. And number two, I couldn't really grasp my head around setting foot on the island. So let me just tell you why. Now, I was thinking about the royals and how they have been, you know, making their pilgrimage through all of the colonized islands. You know, 70 years ago is when Queen Elizabeth basically started her reign. I'm going to call it her reign of continued colonization of the Black Islands that were, you know, basically pulverized and taken over by the white British when they were trying to go ahead and take over the Black countries, basically. Independent, the same thing that Putin is doing to Ukraine is exactly what the British did to the islands that they colonized. Don't get me wrong. You know, colonization by any other name is called slavery. I mean, I'm just saying. Let me just put it in certain terms so you can all understand. When you're in the United States and you go to places like St. Thomas and St. John and St. whatever, those are Black islands. When I say Black islands, I'm saying those were originated by Black people. So when you go and visit as an American citizen, you're like, hey, I'm glad I'm here in these wonderful Caribbean islands that belong to the United States. Well, how did the United States get those islands? They, you know, enacted war on those independent sovereign nations living out there in the Caribbean in the beautiful blue seas. And then after they enacted war, they pulverized the Black people there, took over their governments and basically said, we're going to take your flag out of the ground. We're going to put our flag down. We own you now. As a matter of fact, all of the richness that you have in your country, we're going to take for our own. We're going to make you pay taxes to the United States. We're going to take all of the nutrition, all of the exports that you have are going to flow through the United States of America. And better yet, you will not get a vote because even though you are a part of our democracy, you are a colony, you know, like the 13 original colonies of the United States, like Hawaii was a colony, then it got statehood. Probably was easy for Hawaii to get statehood because they were not Black people. I'm just being honest. But, you know, just to be a very real, to have a very real sense of what all of the most beautiful Caribbean islands from Aruba, who I visited there a couple of years ago on my husband's work wind trip. You know, we went to Aruba and everybody's Black in Aruba. Everybody's Black. Aruba was founded by Black people for Black people, and God gave it to Black people. That's why all the Arubans are Black. So when I had the pleasure of going out into the city and talking to some native people in Aruba, you know, the Black people that look like me, I said, so I've noticed that all of the people who work in the hotels that are cleaning up are Black. 95% of the people that live in Aruba are Black. I said, now, how is it that you speak the Queen's English? They said, oh, well, we were colonized so long ago by the Queen, but we all want her to leave. I said, now, isn't it interesting that, you know, the British had a lot to say and the Americans had a lot to say about South Africa and the remnants of apartheid that continued into the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. And so when apartheid continued all the way through the 80s, when America had this symbol of freedom, when it enacted the Civil Rights Act of 1963, I guess after 1963, the United States of America then decided that it could tell other countries how they were wrong in the way that they were treating Black people. But the United States failed to look at itself in the mirror and look at how it was treating the Puerto Ricans in Puerto Rico. Hey, you colonized Puerto Rico, but you won't let the Puerto Rican citizens have a vote. And then you also won't give them statehood. I wonder why. Is it because they're Latino? It could be. When you look at how the United States did not ever even entertain the notion of giving statehood to St. John or St. Kitts or whatever, St. Thomas or St. John, you have to wonder, what was it about Hawaii that made it so special? I don't know. But when you look at how the royals, William and Kate, William, who is the heir apparent to the throne, he will be the king after his father, after Charles and his former mistress, who Camilla Parker Bowles, will take the reins in England to be the king and queen of England. I guess the king and whatever the name is they gave to Camilla that the queen said she would have. The king and queen of England, they're going to be, they're going to have their heirs, which is William and Kate, take over. So William and Kate were doing this week-long tour of the Caribbean. And when they got to Jamaica, come on, Jamaica. When they got to Jamaica, they were met with ire. Because many of the Jamaicans were protesting, saying, hey, we don't want you here. What are you coming here for? We don't need the queen telling us what to do. And they're right. And I believe, I don't know the exact year, I don't want to get it wrong. And it was either in 1955, Jamaica was able to get its independence, either 1955 or 65. Jamaica got its independence from England, from British rule. But Queen Elizabeth maintained her status as the head of state. So it's like, okay, the queen was like, okay, I'll give you your independence, but I'm still the head of you. So I kind of feel like if you have your foot on the necks of the Jamaicans, and William and Kate think that the Jamaicans really want them to come there and say, and start waving to the nice little black people. You got Jamaica is as black as it gets when it comes to the Caribbean islands.
1962.
So if they get their independence in 1962, but the queen says, I'm still your figurehead, I'm still the ruler of you, then you have to wonder, why is it that Great Britain decides to continue their rule over Jamaica? Jamaica should be given their independence. Aruba should also be given their independence. About 40, 50 years ago, there was a time in Europe when right after Winston Churchill gave his famous speech that basically started the Cold War with the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic, the Soviet Union, he gave a speech basically saying that England was not going to be basically dissolved and that England was still interested in empire building and not the empire's dissolution. Well, after Churchill, at that same, right after the time of Winston Churchill, the next ruler over England, he decided to give India its independence and other countries their independence and get them out of British colonial rule. But that was only to the white countries. And the South Asian, I'd say the Indians are not white. They're clearly brown. Some of them are browner than me. But the white nations got their independence from England, but the black ones didn't. And if you don't recall history, if you know a lot about history, I want to tell you something. If you a lot of people like to say, oh, Gandhi is this peaceful person, this peaceful person who across the world was so wonderful and did this hunger strike that was able to give India its independence from British rule and blah, blah, blah. Well, let me tell you something about Gandhi. Gandhi was a racist. You don't believe me? Look it up. I'm trying to tell you. Now, on this Thursday morning, I've been gone for a week now, y'all. Now, when I've been gone out of town for a week, it gives me a lot to think about, a lot to think that I want to tell the people when I've been watching the news. And then when I'm gone for a week, it really pains me. On Thursday, when I was on vacation on the cruise, I wanted to figure out a way to have my have this broadcast televised live from the Bahamas. But anyway, I digress. Gandhi was a racist. In Gandhi's letters to the British Parliament, and all of his writings, he said very clearly, the difference between the black man seeking independence, which means he was talking about Jamaica and all the black islands, the black man seeking independence from British rule, the difference between the black man and the Indian is that the black man is an animal and the Indians are human. Yes, that's what Gandhi said. He said, we should not be lumped into the same bowl as the Negro because the Negroes are inhumane. They're inhuman. They're animals. We have nothing in common with them. They have small brains and they cannot function without human leadership of the British. But the Indian is a human. And Gandhi pled with the British Parliament to see the Indians as different from the black man. Because at the time when Gandhi was trying to fight for independence from Britain, that was the same time when blacks were being mowed down by fire hoses by white firemen and police officers in the United States of America, showing to the rest of the world that the United States didn't even view black people as humans, because they were using Doberman pinschers and German shepherds to go after the black man. They were using animals to go after them. So it allowed for the Indian people to separate themselves from having anything in common with black people. So that's the reason why now in this week of Britain, the British rulers, you know, William and Kate going around, you know, Kate had on her yellow dress in honor of Jamaica. She wore her green dress in honor of another country, another place where she was going. And I'm like, it's so funny when you see the Brits go that rule these black people. They had the black people behind these fences trying to push their hands through the fences, trying to touch William McKay. Like, oh, they're so wonderful, so wonderful. How about you reach your arms back? How about you use this time in your history in Jamaica and in Barbados? See, in Barbados last year, Prince Charles went to Barbados last year and gave a speech apologizing for the atrocities of slavery and apologizing for all of the black Africans that they stole from the shores of Africa and that they stole from Barbados to work the land in England to make all of them wealthy. The monarch today is only wealthy out of the work that was done by the black slaves that was stolen from Africa by the British and the Americans, okay? So let's not get it twisted. When you see William and Kate going on these Caribbean pilgrimages, oh, we love the blacks, we love the blacks. Yeah, because the blacks are the ones that made you, that enabled the British rulers to never have to work a single day in their lives for generations upon generations upon generations. They have like a 45% tax on all of their white citizens. The people in Aruba, the people in Barbados, the people in Jamaica, they don't have a seat on the British Parliament. No, they don't. The same way the Puerto Ricans don't have a seat in the U.S. Congress. They don't have a senator representing the people in Puerto Rico. Let's talk about this a little bit more when we talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is what our show is going to be talking about today, about how around the globe today, the hypocrisy that we are faced with, right down to Ketanji Brown Jackson being on the Supreme Court nominee, and she's up there being talked to by Josh Hawley, who's facing all kind of federal felony charges. And you got Ted Cruz, who is a Latino acting like a white man. And he's so funny, y'all. He's acting like a white man up there trying to bash Ketanji. And then you got Tucker Carlson, who is the host of the White Privilege Hour on Fox News. I mean, I don't call it that. That's what it's been called by a lot of black people, but I tend to agree with it. Talking about how he can't speak her name correctly, the same way he did Kamala Harris last 2 years ago when she was nominated. It's kind of the white-splaining of black America. And when you have diversity, equity, inclusion, when there's no diversity without equity and inclusion, that's what today's show is going to be talking about. So I want you all to go get your coffee, go get your water, go close your door to the Karens that are outside of your door. One, if you're working it up, you're talking on the phone. Or better yet, just put your ear pods in. I know you got the kind of like the Air Max Pros, the Pro Max that don't have the hot wires or anything. And if you're still stuck to a wire, make sure that your wire is tucked in your blouse so that people can see that you're listening to me on the show, because I'm going to be very, very fiery. And if you have any friends that are not black or not brown, make them listen to this show, because this is where I'm going to do some explaining of what it means, what white privilege means, what black power means, and also what it means to be a colonized black piece of land in the world today. And also what it means to look at America when you say that it's wrong what Putin is doing in Ukraine, but America did not have the same mirror put up to its face when America committed war crimes in all of the countries that it has ever invaded. War crimes were committed, I'm sure, in Barbados by the British. I'm sure war crimes were committed in St. Thomas and in St. John by the Americans. I'm sure war crimes were committed when the United States decided to have concentration camps of the Japanese American citizens who were citizens to this country, who were put in internment camp, concentration camps. There were 10 different camps across the country where they were put in. I'm sure those were war crimes. But remember what I said the last episode when I was on. The war crimes you can only be convicted of if you are the loser in the war. And it looks like the United States is gearing up for Putin to be the loser in this war, because as of yesterday and a little bit this morning, Biden is at the G7 summit and they're talking about war crimes. Kamala Harris talked about war crimes a couple of weeks ago. And now we're talking about Putin is guilty of war crimes. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. See you back in a minute. Boom! I'm dropping the mic today. I hope you ate your Wheaties. I got a whole lot of intelligentsia coming to you. I know it's really hard to think of our country as having done anything wrong. But when you look at the United States of America, we are a country that was created out of wrongs. Okay? We were created out of, you know, first of all, number one, slavery is the basis of the success of the United States of America, period. Hands down. Black men and black women are solely responsible for the wealth, the social infrastructure, and all of the growth that America has today. It's all from the free labor for 400 years that was given to white slave owners and white plantation owners and non-slave owners to make the United States an independent, wealthy nation so that it could be free from Britain's rule. Okay, so basically, the United States got slaves to help it to relieve itself from its slave mentality. The Americans thought that they were slaves to the Brits. The white Americans did. They said, we must be free. We are independent. We should be able to have our own sovereign nation because we have proven that we can work our own land, write our own rules, and govern ourselves. When really, white Americans didn't prove that they could work their own land. They didn't prove that at all. They proved that they did not know how to work their own land without stealing from an independent sovereign nation its own citizens. So much so that it didn't know any other way to survive without continuing that slavery for 400 years. So I really, really find it hard to believe that America now can think that it's the best place for the birtherism of DEI. Diversity, equity, inclusion is the biggest farce in the world now. I know y'all are going to disagree. I know there's a lot of DEI. I hosted a, and I'll say this one back on the air. Just give me one song. Mm-hmm. You know, I hosted a workshop over the week on Saturday.
45 seconds.
That was about DEI. And I just got to say, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion is not something that we need right now. We need equity and inclusion and then diversity. I don't care how many black people you have on there. I just want to make sure that when you do get a black person, you treat them right. You know?
30 seconds.
How many seconds I got?
30.
Okay. See, I didn't mean to go in my soliloquy. I didn't mean to go into my dialogue until after I did this first bit of... Wendy Williams, I want my money back. Girl, you ain't getting your money. You know the white people got your money locked up. They're not giving your money back. I don't care how many 50. What's your work? Okay, are we back?
It's 10 in the morning. It's time to spill the tea.
Okay, let me see.
The top tea on It's Debatable with Attorney Nyan Zamora on 95.3.
I'm going to talk about Caitlyn Jenner.
Okay. You ready? You're on.
All right, everybody, I'm back. So I jumped ahead a little bit on my last segment, so let me go back. In celebrity tea news, Wendy Williams is demanding her money from Wells Fargo and blast their no good manager of her account. I think Wendy Williams might be worth like $50 or $60 million. And you know what happens? There's something that happens when the majority people, you know, Wells Fargo is a racist bank, number one. Let me just tell you. Wells Fargo, I've been telling black people for a long time, if you have your money at Wells Fargo, take your money out. Anytime they have a stagecoach and horses and buggies as their theme or as their mascot or their logo, you have to know. They want slave driving to come back. Take black people, take your money out of Wells Fargo. Wendy Williams had her black money in white Wells Fargo and blast the no good manager for stealing her money for claiming that she needs a guardian. She said, it's not fair. She says, Wells Fargo has no questions and answers regarding my money. This is not fair. And Lori Schiller and Wells Fargo has this guardianship petition about keeping me away from my money. Basically, this is basically white banking 101. If you're black and you bank at a white bank, which most of us do, I'm black and I bank at a few white banks, then that means they will have your money and loan your money out to other white people who want to get loans. But when you ask for a loan for your own business, they won't give you one. It also means that when you put your $50 million in the white bank as a black person, they will then loan your $50 million out to other white people who need loans. But the moment you decide that you actually want to make a withdrawal of any of your $50 million or transfer your funds to another bank, the white bank will say, then you must be crazy. You need a guardian. And they go to the court over your money, which you earned. Now, here's what we should all realize. From banking down to education, down to voting rights, down to the Supreme Court justice makeup, this is the embodiment of systemic racism, okay? This is what systemic racism looks like. It's a system that is designed to work against black people and brown people and poor people, okay? Most poor people are black people, but there are a lot of white poor people too. So if you're a white person that's been aggrieved or abridged of your rights and anything, white people, you work on the shifts just like black people do. White people, you live in trailer parks. Black people live in Section 8 housing. I'm just saying, those are the equals. So you got your white people in the trailer park that are just as downtrodden as black folks in the ghettos. So when you look at the equality factor, it looks like the only way to be equal is to be white and privileged and male, not even white female. Although we do have a lot of the daughters of the Confederacy that want to keep the status quo. White women of privilege typically don't want to be equal. They like for the white men of privilege to assume that they are, oh, they need to be held up on a pedestal. You know when white women used to always claim that black men were trying to rape them on the slave plantations, and they would accuse black men of rape and get black men lynched, you know, even when it wasn't true. It was happening a lot. But the reality was white women typically wanted to maintain their status. And if you go back to the election of, or the non-election of Hillary Clinton, the day after Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump, I was on Fox News because we had covered the election. I was on Fox News show, What's Your Point? And that's when the show was still on Thursday evenings. And so basically the next day we were on the air. And I said that, you know, for all of the white women got Donald Trump elected to the presidency. White women wanted to maintain their status of being a class above black people. They really did not want to see their status being equal to black people. They're like, oh no, honey. We love being Delta, Delta, Delta. Can I help you, help you, help you? White women wanted to maintain their status above black people, and that's why they wanted to keep Donald Trump in office. That's why none of the things that were racist that he said, it ever bothered them. So that's also why when you saw white women other white women protesting Donald Trump the day after he did take office, those white women, they didn't want to protest with the black women. They didn't want to take the black women's issues up that were really at the forefront, because black women are the ones who started the women's march. The white women came and took it over and made it their march and took out the black issues, saying that if we talk about the black women's issues, which were how black women make less money than white women, and white women make less money than white men. Black women make less than everybody in every demographic. So when they talk about equal pay for equal work, they didn't want to talk about how there was such a disparity about how much black women made compared to how much white women made. So when you look at the breakdown of, let's say, what's happening with Ketanji, and I'm going to go somewhere with this. I noticed when I looked at the news while I was on my vacation in the Caribbean, around all the colonized areas where they were colonized by the white people, where all the black people had all their islands taken over because white people came in with gunpowder, Mr. Smith and Mr. Wesson, and black people probably still only had, you know, the same thing that the Native Americans had, bow and arrows. Black people probably said, just come on to Jamaica, man. And white people say, oh yeah, we're going to come and take you over, man. We're going to colonize you and make you all hail to the white woman in England. Well, that was going around in all the Caribbean areas. So when you look at the state of America today and you look at why things are the way they are, you can also see what has happened to black men as well. Black men, I'm going to say a prayer for you. Something that happened to me this morning, I had a whole run of show prepared for today. But then this morning when I got up next to my black husband, I thought, golly, there's some things that dawned on me. Something has happened to the diminishment of the black man in America. So much so that black women have decided somewhere in their mental faculties that maybe the black man is not good enough to make into a husband. Hear me out. It seems that black women at a certain level have decided systematically that maybe, go here with me. I'm talking about some interracial marriage now. If you're in a biracial relationship or whatever that's called, you might want to turn this up. Because I'm a black woman that's married to a black man that's been doing a lot of noticing about what I've seen. Meghan Markle is biracial. She married a white man. Now she's like, I guess, ostracized or outcast. She's an outcast royal. They're like, no, you don't, black girl. You will not be taking your edges over here. Not to British rule. Kamala Harris is married to a white man. Ketanji Brown Jackson is married to a white man. Thurgood Marshall was married to a Filipino woman. Clarence Thomas is married to a white woman who was involved in the January 6th insurrection. And now you got Ketanji married to a white man. Now, what I'm doing is I want you all to see what this looks like from my perspective, okay? And I'm a black woman. I could have married a white guy. I had a lot of white guys that were trying to get to put the ring on my finger now. Let me tell you something. And I'm going to take you to a story. And this is why I'm having this conversation about race today. Because what I notice is that the black man seems to be noticeably absent from the arm of black women that have been able to rise to levels in power and prestige and position that, you know, have been notable. The Supreme Court becoming a would-be royal, even though she's not going to get the title, and being the first gentleman or the second gentleman, being the husband of Kamala Harris. So I have to think, what does the black man think about that? Is there something that the black man has done to the black woman to make her feel like, maybe I don't need to choose you, boo? Is there something about how black men through dozens of years since it became legal have chosen white women to be with them when they have ascended to greatness? I'm just saying. A lot of the athletes and entertainers that, what's his name? Quincy Jones. His wife, he's the blackest man in black music. His wife is white. I mean, you have to think about it. Is there some correlation to success? Or is there some correlation between success of black women and black men and their desire to be accepted when they are mounting a charge into uncharted territories, namely the Supreme Court, the White House, or the royal family? You can't be a part of the royal family unless you marry a white man, hands down, period, because there are no blacks over there. But I have just noticed that we have not had a black couple do anything as a joint force except for Barack and Michelle. So that's what I'm going to use as my barometer. Barack Obama married a black woman and was able to ascend to the highest ranking person in the world, the president of the United States, And so when you think about it, I guess I would have to ask, is there some reason why Ketanji married a white guy? Were there no black guys at Harvard? Did the brothers not try to step to Ketanji? I mean, I have to know what's going on out there. Let me tell you what happened to me. I was working at a large law firm. And when I was on a flight, I used to fly a lot for the large for the law firm that I worked for. And the white lawyers that were there used to always try to hit on me, knowing full well that I was married to my man. And, you know, it was something that used to happen all the time. And I was on a flight from Houston to Dallas to do a mediation. And I was not on a first class flight. I was on Southwest, which, you know, there is no first class, second class, whatever class. You just sit where you are. But I was in the front. I was sent by this white guy who was obviously traveling for business. And I was working and I was trying to prepare for my mediation. And I had my laptop. I do my little work, you know, black girl magic and all, dressed to the nines like I always do, popping. And this white guy tried to strike up a conversation with me. And I was like, okay, I was entertaining him just a little bit. And I kind of was getting the hint that he was like, oh, so what do you do? I said, oh, I'm a lawyer. He said, oh, where do you work? Blah, blah, blah. And I told him where I worked. He said, oh, National Pharma. He said, what do you do? I said, well, I run the Texas office. He was like, oh. And then he started talking about, well, what type of blah, blah, blah practice are you doing? I told him. And moments later, I guess he felt like empowered. I guess he felt his white privilege could say anything to this little black girl that was sitting next to him in all of her finery. And he said, oh, I see that you're married. I said, mm-hmm. He said, well, how long have you been married? At the time I said, oh, 14 years. He said, I bet your husband's white. Yes, he did, y'all. He said, I bet your husband's white. And I had to put my laptop down, you guys, because I was like, I said, well, actually, he's not. He's very black. And then I gave a little smile, like, meaning, like, and if you have your kids in the room, go ahead and turn it down. I want to be like, yes, all of the rumors are true. Black men do have the largest penises. But I didn't say it like that. I didn't want to make him feel small as a white man, even though I needed to. But I kind of was like, he said, oh, well, I'm surprised. I said, oh, you are. I said, pray tell. And I had to go ahead and put my work down because I wanted to hear from this white man how he came up with this, his sentiments, because I already knew. Remember, y'all, I went to Texas A&M University in College Station, Texas, where it was all white boys and like three black girls. Okay, that's what I'm saying. And I loved every minute of it. You know, I'm not racist. I've dated a couple of white guys. You know, it wasn't one of my stellar moments in history. But, you know, you had to dibble and dabble a little bit. You're in the plantation of America. Might as well see what it was all about. I didn't have anything to report back. But anyway, so we got into this discussion on this flight. And I said, now, what makes you say that? Why would you assume? He said, well, because you're beautiful. I said, well, thank you for the compliment. He said, no, I'm just telling you. He said, you're hands down gorgeous, beautiful. And most of the time, black women as beautiful as you are either dating or married to white men. I said, well, that's interesting that you would say that. He was like, well, I mean, I just find that to be true. He said, and what I also understand is that, and this is the white guy telling me this. Now, you know, all black women probably already taught this now. Y'all should go ahead and be ready for a chuckle. Because black women, when we talk to each other in our little black girl conversations, this is what we always say about black men. This is what the white man said. He was handsome and he was tall. So he fit the bill of being a man that was good looking, talking to a good looking person. So when good looking people have conversations, they usually try to be as honest as possible. Like, we both know that we're 10s on a scale of 1 to 10s. So he was telling me from his white male privilege 10 perspective. He said, but you know, the opposite is true for black men. Black men, when they reach a certain status, they tend to go for white women that no other white man wants. Ha! Yes, he did say that. I'm gonna take a sip of my Pellegrino. I said, do tell. See, because in conversations like this with white privileged men that are handsome, sometimes it's good to listen more than you speak. Just go ahead and get as much as you can off this 56-minute flight as you can from this white man that's telling you how they really think. I said, oh, do tell. He said, yeah. Whenever I see a black man with a white woman, she's usually from the trailer park. She's usually fat. She's usually somebody that didn't go to college, somebody that usually no white man would want anyway. So it's kind of like they scrape the bottom of the barrel when they get a white woman. And then if it's a white man that goes after a black woman, she's like usually the cream of the crop. I was like, oh, well, you know, I said, you know what? I guess in looking at the relationships between white women and black men, I kind of would have to agree with your biased sense of view. He was like, yeah, it's true. I said, yeah, you're right. He said, you know, also, whenever you see the professional athletes, they always go at the bottom of the barrel, white girl, some white girl that none of us wanted. He said, and typically, if a white girl goes with a black man and then they break up or something like that, she can't go back to another white guy because numerally the white guys don't want to be with her anymore. I was like, wow. He said, but usually if you see a beautiful black woman and a white man is married to her or dating her, she's the black woman that everybody wants. Not just the white men, not just the black men, not even just them, but Latino men, Asian men, all of them. She's somebody that's at the top of the game in every way, shape, or form. I said, you have to be right. I said, on that note, I'm going to cut to commercial, y'all, because guess what? That's what we're talking about today. How do they view us? How do you all think that white America views Ketanji? Because Tucker Carlson said something very telling yesterday on his show. I don't watch White Privilege Hour, but I do agree with some of the things that Tucker Carlson has to say. And, you know, he said Ketanji is more white privilege than most black people in America. She's whiter than most black people would be. Now, if we wanted a black person on the court, that a true black person, he was saying it would be Ketanji. He said, because she's not very black, because she sounds like every white, liberal, privileged person in America. And you know what? Maybe that's what Ketanji had to do to be able to reach the level that she is sitting at as a person that's being nominated to the Supreme Court of the United States. It's a harsh reality that you have to be able to tell yourself, but that I have to agree with Tucker Carlson. I don't think Ketanji is as black as Nyanza. Because let me tell you something, baby. You know, I have to say, I'm okay being unapologetically black. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with saying that, you know, there is white privilege in America. So when Ketanji was crying, when the tears were coming from her eyes yesterday, when Senator Cory Booker was telling her how proud he was, I was proud too. Tears came to my eyes too. But my tears were not coming from my eyes from Ketanji's plight. My tears were coming to my eyes just for having a black, brown-skinned woman with hair that was nappy, like I like it. You know, sitting up there talking to these white people about how black she is when coming from a space where she's married to a white man. And in her family of her daughters and her husband, she's the only black person. Her daughters are biracial. Barack Obama was biracial. So you're either biracial or you can be black. But just because Black America sees her as black, we have to know that her views are not as black as they could be. You know, I'm just saying, Tucker Carlson had a point. And yesterday when one of the senators was questioning her about what's the definition of a woman, Ketanji was backpedaling like she didn't know how to define a woman. Said, well, I don't know. I'm not a biologist, so I can't define what a woman is. Girl, bye. I was like, some of the things that the conservatives were asked, I was like, why don't you answer the question? Why are you not now? Do you know what black is? I kind of want to be like, Ketanji, you can't say what the definition of a woman is and you have a vagina and you birth some biracial black girls out of it, I'm assuming. You can't define what a woman is because you're so worried about what the transgender community will say, or what the Democrats will say, or what everybody will say. If you define a woman as being born a woman by God and saying that she was born with a vagina and a period, I was like, Ketanji, sit down somewhere, because you're not being a real woman. You cannot say what a woman is. Have the Democrats gotten so far in your brain that you can't even say what a woman is? Well, then how can you define what black is? So Ketanji, I'm here for you, girl. I know you're going to get this nomination, but the moment that you stop saying what something is actually is the time when you are doing a woman-splaining of America. So Ketanji, I'd rather have a white woman who could define what a woman is rather than a black woman who won't say what a woman is. Okay, now I have to go to break so all the black women can be mad at me. I'm just saying, you guys, I'm unapologetically a woman. I will stand up for women's rights no matter what. So if Ketanji is going to be a Supreme Court justice that is going to completely obliterate what a woman is defined as, I don't want her to be a Supreme Court justice. Ruth Bader Ginsburg didn't have to be black to be just. Okay? Sandra Day O'Connor didn't have to be black to be just. Justice Beyer didn't have to be black to be just. You don't have to be black to be on Supreme Court to be just. I just want people that are on there that are not conservative or liberal, but just have sanity. I do not want, when they asked Ketanji yesterday, and I'm saying this during my outtake, so these are the things that you get to hear when you are live streaming me on my social media, on Instagram, on my Nyanza L. Moore, and on Facebook on Nyanza L. Moore. I don't want somebody, I don't care, when they say we're trying to fill, when Joe, I had a conversation, let me just say it this way, I had a conversation with a white woman at an airport when we were and stopped over on our spring break trip when we were trying to get on our flight. And she was a white woman that was traveling. She's a stay-at-home mom. She voted for Joe Biden the last time around. But she made the comment to me because we started talking politics. She said, well, I don't like to talk politics from my friends. I said, well, I'd love to talk about politics. What you got? Tell me what you got. I said, because I can tell you some of the positions that I take. I said, because I'm unapologetically a person who says what I believe. And I believe that in this era of people pretending that they really don't have certain beliefs is a very dangerous time in America, because it's almost a time where a woman that has a vagina that has produced menstrual cycles since the age of either 11, 12, 9, whatever age, until the age of 50 something, is no longer allowed to say that she's a woman. Okay? I believe that is the dumbest piece of bullcrap I have ever heard of in my life. And for the transgender community, which basically are the trans women who are men that like to wear dresses, who now say, I want to identify. I don't care how you identify. Nothing on God's green earth can turn you into a woman except God.
45 seconds.
Do you hear me out there, America? Yep, you can start not listening to me if you want to, but I am anti anybody who wants to diminish my being as a human woman on this earth. You are either a plant group or the animal. I'm going back home. Mm-hmm. Ready? Mm-hmm. Y'all done got me fired up. Fired up.
About 15 seconds.
We ready?
15 seconds.
All right. We got 15 seconds or 50 seconds?
15.
Okay. So I have to be, my show is called It's Debatable with Attorney Nyanza L. Moore, and everything is debatable. But whether or not somebody is a woman or not is not debatable. Y'all ready for this? My nose is running ever since I stayed outside watching my daughter run the track meet looking like Flo Jo. Come on, Kennedy. I gave birth to a track star. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. She will be in the Olympics anyway.
3, 2, you're on.
All right, everybody, we're back. And if you don't get a chance to listen to me during my outtakes, you don't get my fiery, colorful language that I use. I don't use any curse words because I don't curse anyway. I'm trying to work on that during Lent season. But, you know, I want to say that in this DEI America, diversity, equity, and inclusion, I got into a conversation with a white woman who voted for Joe Biden the last go round for president, who said this time she doesn't think she's going to vote for Joe Biden because he hasn't done what he said he was going to do. I couldn't disagree with her. You know, I wouldn't vote for Joe Biden again. I don't care if he's a Democrat or Republican. I don't vote on the party. I vote on the principle. So for me, it's like this. In Joseph Biden's party, the Democrats, they are trying to confuse girls into thinking that there is no girl or woman. There is no definition of what a woman is or what a girl is. So they're also trying to eliminate our ability to tell children in elementary school that you are a girl or a boy. Now, when you are in biology class and when you're in science class in the sixth grade, it's not called biology, it's sixth grade science. They tell you that there are two kingdoms on the earth, the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom. Human beings are part of the animal kingdom, all right? Plants are plants. In the animal kingdom, there are humans and then there are animals. In the animal kingdom, you have animals that walk on land and animals that are in the water, period. It stops there. They're still animals, okay? Then in the human kingdom, you have male and female humans, period. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just take you back to the Bible. You know, this is the Lenten season, okay? We're marching on down to Easter. For those of you who are Muslim, you're about to come up to your celebration of Ramadan, where you are fasting at certain hours of the day. And so for those of you who understand Genesis, okay? And for the Jewish people out there, you understand the book of Jasher, you know? When Genesis came, it said God created man and woman. Woman was created out of man. Don't you find it interesting that the transgendered trans men are not trying to undefine what a man is? But the trans women are trying to eliminate the definition of a woman. For those of you who don't know anything about the trans community, they've beaten it over my head enough times to where we know if you're a trans woman, that means you're transitioning to become a woman, which means you're transitioning in perpetuity because you will never transition to be a woman because you will never be a woman. You can go get breast implants, but just because you're a man with breast implants, it doesn't make you a woman. You can go get your penis cut off. And for those of you with children in the room, please turn down the radio so they can't hear my voice when I say penis, even though it is a biological term. You can get your penis taken off, but you're still going to be a man. You're just going to be a eunuch, okay? That's what they used to do to men back then when the kings had harems. They would have eunuchs in the harems to man all of the women. They had to cut off their penises. That did not turn them into women. It just made them eunuchs, all right? So if you're a bunch of eunuchs walking around trying to say that now you're a woman, I think that is inherently crazy. And here's what I believe is happening. I believe we are watching when Ketanji Brown Jackson yesterday could not tell the Republican conservatives that were asking her what a woman was. All she had to do was say, I believe in God. I believe God made men and women. And I believe science created the transgender community. Period. I think that would have been fine. It would let you know what the truth was. The scientists created the transgender community, not God. Come on now. Can somebody please agree or you can disagree with me if you want to, but I'm just being real. I do not want to live in an America where in order to achieve greatness in a certain position, you have to then eliminate what you know to be true in your head. It's kind of like when white people used to say, I don't see color. Well, how can you not see color? Because you picked all the black people and made them slaves. You didn't make them slaves based on the color of their eyes. You made them slaves based on the color of their skin. So you cannot in 2022 say, I do not see color. Okay. So you have to see me as a black woman. The moment that we start allowing a certain party, see, that's why I've been voting as a Democrat since I got my voter registration card when I was 18. I voted in every single election since I was 18, and I have always voted Democrat. If I did not agree with the Democrat that was on the ballot, then I abstained from that particular election. So I abstained. Now, I'm so happy that Ketanji is up for nomination for the Supreme Court of the United States. But I also hope that Ketanji is doing exactly what Brett Kavanaugh did. Lie your way onto the Supreme Court. Brett Kavanaugh lied like he was going to be fair and impartial and that he was not going to go ahead and get back at the Democrats who tried to stop him from taking office. He lied. I hope Ketanji is lying when she says that she does not know how to define a woman since she is a woman who has given birth and who actually has a vagina. So she must have had a menstrual cycle and she's married to a man. And more than likely her passport and her driver's license say woman and her birth certificate probably says girl. But I would hasten to believe that a person who graduated with honors from Harvard University undergraduate and Harvard Law School with honors did not know how to define a woman. And that has to say, I do not know. I am not a biologist, but she must be a linguist. Because here's how I have to see it. God created man and woman, period. Scientists created the trans community. All right. If you are a Democrat and you are running as a Democrat, you are going to be forced to align with saying that women no longer are limited to the way God defined us. But now women have to encompass the trans women who have now basically infiltrated our community. You can say what you want to say about my politics, but I'm not going to let trans women gaslight women into making us believe that it's wrong for saying that we are actually women. I don't see the trans men out there saying men should not be able to define what men are. They're only attacking women. Why is it that women are always being attacked? And when women fight for the rights of women, we get attacked by our own. I'm sorry. If you are one of those white women, let me tell you something. The trans women out there, you are white men that now want to take over the women's population. Okay, that's what you are. I know there are a lot of black trans women out there too. I feel your pain, but Stop the gaslighting, okay? I will not allow anybody to tell me that I'm not able to say what a woman is. You have got me effed up. If you actually think I'm going to let some man in a dress with breast implants who has cut his penis off tell me that I'm not allowed to say what a woman is. And to that note, let me get back to my run of show so I can get back on track. Now, over the weekend, I was watching a lot of what's been going on in the sports arena. Yes, I have. And you know, you got the white bankers trying to gaslight Wendy Williams, telling her as a black woman she don't know how to deal with her money. And then over there in the trans community, we have Leah Thomas. I don't know what Leah Thomas' real name was when she's born with her Listen, let me tell you something. Caitlyn Jenner, who is Bruce Jenner, is speaking out. Earlier this week, he agreed. Caitlyn, I still call him he because he's still a man. I don't care. I don't care if he's post-op, pre-op. He's still a man. You're born with testosterone. That's what you are. So Bruce Jenner sided with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis about transgender swimmer Leah Thomas. And let me tell you something. I agree with Governor DeSantis, and I agree with Caitlyn Bruce Jenner. Now, they're saying that the University of Virginia freshman who finished second to Thomas in the 500-yard NCAA Women's Championships last week, the rightful winner, Williant, who finished 1.75 seconds behind Thomas, grew up in Sarasota, Florida. Quote, by allowing men to compete in women's sports, the NCAA is destroying opportunities for women, making a mockery of its championships, and perpetuating a fraud. That's what Governor DeSantis said, and I agree with him. He wrote on his Twitter, quote, in Florida, we reject these lies and recognize Sarasota's Emma Wyatt as the best woman's swimmer in the 500-yard freestyle, end quote. And I 100% agree. Emma is the winner. Let me tell you something about what happened. Now, this dude, this man, Leah Thomas, what's his real name? Sherelle, can you find out what his birth name? What is his government name? What did his father and mother name him on his birth certificate? That's what I want to know. Because Leah is the name that he picked out when he wanted to swim against girls. So this person wanted to spent three semesters, okay? Three semesters swimming with the men and was losing. Could not beat men at his own game. Then he decided, you know what? I can't win. And I feel like in this transgender America where the Democrats are doing dumb, you know what? I'm so tired of the Democrats. You know what? I hope they all, any Democrat, I'm digressing just for a second. Any Democrat out there, if you are espousing this trans woman crap and saying that women don't get to define themselves as women, if you are one of those that are too afraid to stay, if you have a vagina and you are a Democrat and you're too afraid to stand up for women and women's issues and keeping these men out of our gender, if you're going to let these men come in and tell us that we're not women, I hope you lose to every single Republican conservative that comes up against you. I'm going to help you lose. I'm going to probably say your name right around in November, around election time, and probably play all of your dumb recordings when you said that transgender women need to be a part of the women's race because you're dumb. Okay, if you are out there talking that mess, you need to go look back at the Bible. And let me tell you, on the day of judgment, hear me out. On the day of judgment, my friends, if you are one of those who has decided that it's more politically correct to go ahead and tell people something that's not true, that God made a man and a woman is false, and that God got it wrong. If you want to be on the side of those people in the Democratic Party that are trying to convince you that God had it wrong and that men that decide to live in this way as women are right and that God is basically wrong and there's no room for God in school, well, then you're going to be standing on the side of wrong, and I don't want to be standing on your side of the street. I'm just telling you, they took God out of church. They took church out of schools. Remember that atheist woman right from Austin, Texas? She's the one who single-handedly got prayer out of schools. And what happened to her? What happened to her and her son? Oh, yeah. They were executed, found at the bottom of a ditch in Austin, Texas. Some Christian probably went ahead and killed him. Well, guess what happened to one of the biggest fighters for the trans and the gay community out there in Florida. What happened? Yes, the man who single-handedly brought down the anti-gay marriage acts that were like making men and women marry, the guy who was in charge of that, the gay guy who was at the top of that, he was executed too and found at the bottom of a pit in Florida. Let me tell you something about these Christian crazies. I'm not a Christian crazy, but I am a Christian. And let me tell you something. If we allow for the perversion, I'm calling it perversion. If we allow for the perversion of what we know to be true, if you allow people to gaslight you into thinking that, well, maybe it's not wrong. Listen, there are people out there that want to marry off little 9-year-old girls to 50-year-old men in other countries. And we call that crazy. That we call that perverse. Well, if we allow people to say that women are not women, and eventually it'll happen to the men, but you know, men run the world, so it's not going to happen. It's only our gender that's going to be, only the female gender is in crisis right now. Because you have men trying to come into our gender, trying to say that they can take it over. Do you really think it's right in today's America for us to tell the rest of the world that so long as you're a man, if you feel like you identify as a woman, that you get to be a woman, and that you get to that then say that it's not right? There are some companies out there that are pulling their investments and pulling their support from certain states because those states don't want to promote the transgenderism and don't want to define women as women. I hope those states continue with their plies. I'm okay with Florida saying it. I'm okay with Texas. So I may be that black woman that you think, oh my gosh, she's a little bit too conservative. Yes, I am. My morals are very conservative. I believe that we're all born with our own sense of right and wrong and what we believe and how we're raised and everything. And I honestly believe that equality for everyone when it comes to color, because remember what I said earlier, it's humankind. But when you break down humans, it's either male or female. Now, when you just want to say, in elementary school, not to teach children that there's a difference between boys and girls. What in the heck is wrong with you, you dummies? I don't want you teaching in my schools. That's why I'm glad I live in Alvin Independent School District. Yes, I am. Because guess what? Out here in Alvin, in conservative Texas, in conservative Brazoria County, I'm very glad. I'm very happy that in our independent school district, we're keeping it normal. Now, you might be mad that I'm saying what normal is. I think that normal is male and female. I don't want there to be a time when I'm no longer able to say I got to stand up for women's rights. Because somebody said, well, what's a woman? How do you define a woman? Well, how do you define a woman, you dummy? If you have a vagina, you're a woman. I don't care if it works or not. You don't have to have a period or produce babies. But if God gave you a vagina, you're a girl. If you stand up to pee, sometimes you may sit down. But if you have a penis, you're a boy. It's as simple as that. Girls do pink and boys do blue. Now my favorite color is navy blue. But I don't want to confuse my son Lincoln by saying, it doesn't matter, baby. Be whatever you want. The heck you can. You can't be whatever you want. No, you can't. Only in white man's America. Only in white privileged male America do white men get to determine that being a woman is no longer sacred. It's the white men in the trans community that want to be identified as women. The black men in the transgender community are being killed. They don't even get to have a say. Even black gay people don't even get to have a say in the gay rights. You see how Joe Biden didn't eat, you know, when he decided to put a gay man. Now, I'm not saying this. I mean, gay people have their own thing to deal with. I'm not anti-gay, but I got my own positions and everything. I believe that Sodom and Gomorrah was real. I believe that the Bible is real. I believe in that as a Christian woman. I got to teach my kids what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. Now, I've had a lot of people say, well, you can't say that being gay is wrong. Well, I can't. I cannot. I don't guess my opinion really matters because I'm married to a man and I'm a woman. And I'm going to tell my children, I don't even think they know what gay is. I haven't even told them. Because I agree with the conservative position that in elementary school, you don't need to be told what gay is. You don't even know what sex is in elementary school. Why do you need to know what transgender is in elementary school? I think that dumb school that Ketanji sends her kids to in D.C., you know, where all the rich people send their kids to, where it's $40,000 a year. I think it's pretty dumb to teach little children about transgender. It's pretty dumb to teach little children about a science-made gender. Okay, let's call it what it is. If it's a gender made by man, it's not a true gender. I'm just telling you, I'm going to get a whole lot of backlash from this show. I hope I do. You all never seem to have enough cojones to call into the show to say anything. I wish one of you would call up here. What's the dial-in number to up here, Sherelle?
832-743.
The dial-in number is
832-743-5269.
If you disagree with me, please disagree with me. I want you to disagree with me on a biblical sense and a scientific sense. Because I have to say, I'm raising a boy and a girl. And I want to make sure that my daughter has all the rights and privileges that girls get when they get D1 scholarships. Because my daughter ran it down. She walked them down at the track meet yesterday. Yes, she did at Manville High School. She ran them all around the track in the relay. And so I'm just saying, Kennedy Sinclair Moore may have a D1 scholarship in her future, but not if Leah Thomas gets to take her scholarship as a man who decides that he wants to tuck in his penis and run against my daughter and say that he's a girl because he can't get a D1 scholarship as a man. I'm just saying. If there are Democrats that are trying to erase what a woman is, I want you to lose. If you're a Democrat, see, now I believe that the Democratic Party needs to be broken up into different regimes. There needs to be the old school Democrats like myself. You know those Democrats who were against the bathroom bill for a very good reason. And those old school Democrats who were saying that transgender women are not women. The old school Democrats who were thinking that trans women have no place in NCAA sports. Okay? Now, I'm just saying, if you want to have a science-based gender, that's fine. Then if there are enough of you in the science-based community, if you have created your own community, if you have enough trans people, create your own NCAA transgender realm. Create your own space. Black people had to create their own space. Don't you hear me? Why don't the trans of America take a page out of the black folks' books? Do you hear me? When we were not winning the Oscars and the Emmys, we came up with the BET Awards. We came up with the NAACP Awards. We came up with our own Image Awards. Okay? Take a page out of the black book. Trans people, gay people, take a page out of the black book. Do what black people did. Asian people, Hispanic people, the Latino awards. We all have our own awards. We all have our own scholarships. Black people realize we're not getting scholarships to these D1 schools. So we need to come up with our own black scholarships for black kids to be able to have a hand up. Trans community, if you're out there so proud and strong, come up with your own award shows. Come up with your own scholarships. Come up with your own everything. Copy everything that black people did. And then fight for equal justice. Because let me tell you something, what you should not be allowed to do. And while I have It's Debatable with Attorney Nia Zale Moore, what you won't be able to do, not on my show, is go ahead and take over the Democratic Party. Because here is what has happened. The Democrats are losing steam and are bound to lose in the midterm elections because they have allowed the transgender community and the LGBTQIA community to systematically take over the Democratic Party principles. All right? The Democrats have been fighting for equal justice for blacks, Latinos, Asians for years. Okay? For decades. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, all of these people that have been fighting for equal justice under the law, human justice. When you allow the gays and the transgender community to take over the Democratic Party, it then becomes the party of the trans community, where like, if your trans don't get it, then it's wrong for everybody. Well, I don't agree with that. I believe that we need to have black people, Latino people, Asian people. They need to get it first. Whatever it is. We've been fighting for justice for a very long time. Trans people say, create your own party. Why didn't you join the Party of Independence? Why didn't you join the Green Party? The Green people broke off from the Democrats saying, well, y'all weren't green enough, so we're going to break off. Well, good. Good for the Green Party. Now they have their own nominees. The Libertarians broke off. Why doesn't the transgender community join the Libertarian Party? Because what the transgender community has done to the Democrats is made you lose. Because I won't be voting for a Democrat that espouses that they want transgender rights over women's rights. Nope, not me. I'll vote for a Republican in place, and I will promote Republicans on my show. This is not the It's Debatable with Democrats when Nyanza Elmore. It's debatable. And you can debate me all day long, but I'm very conservative in my values. When it comes to moral issues, I'm conservative because I want to go to heaven. Yes, I do. When the judgment day comes, I just do not want to. I believe that Jesus said to love everybody. I love you all, but I will not let you gaslight me. I love you all. Because even Jesus said, love everybody. I get it. I love you all. But do not come over here and try to change. Do not change what we know our values to be, to go into some metamorphosis of what takes morality out. You have to know that let me just be clear. Where Christianity and religious thinking comes into play, if you are a person who believes in God, I don't know, maybe you believe in multi-deity. Maybe you believe in a lot of gods, but there's only one, okay, period. You can disagree with me. You want to debate with me on that? There's a whole lot of paperwork I can show you that says there's one God. So if you believe that there's one God, you have to wonder, what is God thinking about the transgender community? Is God pleased? Is God trying to help the transgender community fight for their rights? Does God want to help the transgender people allow for science to dilute what God created a woman to be or a man to be? I don't know. You may believe so. I just don't think so. I believe that God is looking and watching and wondering, what are we going to do? What are Christians going to do? What are believers? Let me say, you don't have to be Christian. What are believers going to do in the face of Sodom and Gomorrah of 2022? That's what I believe this is. I just believe it. I see that even in some organizations that I belong to, they're now carving out a space for the trans community. I'm like, dude, are you serious right now? Do I need to rethink my dues and my membership? You're carving out space for people that I believe are not doing God's will. I'm just saying, it's debatable with Attorney Nyanza Elmore. I need you to call in to debate me if you disagree with me. If you believe that transgender women are women, please call in and tell me. Tell me where your ovaries came from. Show me your ovaries. If you're born without ovaries, maybe it's an anomaly. Did you have a vagina? Humans cannot create vaginas. Humans cannot create penises. I'm just sorry, they can. And on that note, I'm going to go cut this segment so you can go ahead and regurgitate on what I just said. All right. Did you hear that? I'm sorry. It seems as though, as racist as many Republicans are, I believe that not all Republicans are racist. Not all conservatives are racist. I strongly believe that I identify more as a conservative than I do as a liberal. I honestly understand how conservatives believe that everybody should go to work. Because I have to work. I got to work two jobs. So if you don't want to work, you just want to live off the system, I believe that the system should help you to a certain degree. But you should not be able to live off the system. I also believe that the way that the system is in the United States of America is racist inherently anyway. When you do not want to give the citizens that live here, the poorest amongst us, the black, the brown, the Asian, the disabled, the people that have mental infirmaries, you have to think, how can we give billions of dollars in aid to a foreign government who's in a foreign war with a regime that was not even a part of NATO, when you can't even give aid and eliminate the college debt to citizens who will be working to pay off the debt that you're going to give and put us in for giving money to Ukraine? I'm just saying, are you giving money to Ukraine just because they're white Europeans? I'm just saying.
45 seconds.
Okay, let's go back on. I got to say that when I'm on the air. We don't have any callers in, do we? No, I'm coming in hot today, y'all. Y'all weren't ready for this. Y'all weren't ready for this dissertation I'm giving you today. You know, because I feel like I have a duty as a believer. I have a duty to not let my voice be diminished by people that are in and surrounding my community that espouse things that I believe are not godly. I'm just saying. I don't believe it's very godly. But anyway. But I'm not judging you. You do your own thing. But don't let your rights encroach mine. That's how I'm going to break it down. You ready?
Yep. I'm going to play a drop and you're ready.
I've been trying to get back on my fast, but it's been very hard to do. Because my husband keeps on trying to feed me in the mornings. He's trying to fat me up. Oh, that was good, bro. This is a Pellegrino. Sorry, guys. I like sparkling water. I can't help it. Ready?
You are on.
All right, everybody, we're back. You know, I didn't even hardly get to my story today because I was too busy talking about all of this, all of these moral issues. And I believe that there is a space for this. You know, in television today, you have the media that controls what we hear and what we see in movies and on television and on the radio. It's always good to hear the other side. It's good to hear the Tucker Carlsons. I like to hear how racist white people think, you know, because some of the stuff they're saying is not racist. It's just like, makes you just want to think a little bit. Let's take, for example, how the United States did not give a lot of humanitarian aid during the genocide taking place in Africa a decade ago. But the United States has given billions of dollars to Ukraine in aid in a foreign war, which has no bearing on the United States. So when you think about the amount of college student loan debt, what is it, $6 billion in student loans? It might be even more than that. If you have $6 billion in student loans, that federal student loans, that must be repaid by American citizens after they graduate from college in a system that is meant to keep them in debt forever. And you have Joseph Biden giving billions of dollars to Ukraine and not forgiving the student loan debt from American citizens, because you do realize that the billions of dollars that are going overseas to aid in a foreign war to which the United States doesn't have a stake in, you have to understand that these college graduates that are graduating with the debt are going to be paying off the $1 billion debt that Joseph Biden has put us in by giving billions of dollars to Ukraine. Because now with this new strain of the COVID virus that's come out last week, now we have a funding problem. See, because the billions of dollars in aid came from stealing from the COVID coffers meant to protect United States citizens in a health crisis, and it was given to the Ukrainians. So now that we need more COVID relief, now we don't have that money there to help our U.S. citizens. But we're still asking for college graduates in the United States to pay for all of the aid that's being given abroad. Did we give aid to the Ukrainian citizens because they're white Europeans that look like the white privileged elite in the United States? Because we didn't give a whole lot of aid when it came to helping out the people that were killed in Africa under the genocide. You know, you have to think about when you see the Haitians that were trying to get to the United States and they were systematically told by Donald Trump, no more Negroes. No more people from the black islands. No more people from the black country. Why can't we get more Europeans over here? Why can't we get the Swedish and the Swiss over here? We'll let them in. Why can't we get more people from those countries? When racist Donald Trump said that, the rest of white America probably applauded. I mean, I have to say, you know, when Joseph Biden says this morning that he'll let 100,000 Ukrainians over here, where are they going to go? Which states are you sending them to? Which states will you send the Ukrainians to live in? Are these the states that the United States will give federal funding to allow for, and are they going to be taxpayers? Are we just going to be having the taxpayers from the United, are the black people and brown people and Asian people who don't get the benefits of white privilege America, do we have to pay for the Ukrainians that are coming over here? Or is it just the white privileged Americans that have to pay for the Ukrainians that are coming over here? Because you wouldn't let the Haitians come over here. But let the black people come over here when they were trying to flee from seeking political asylum in the United States. I'm just saying. So do you only pay for the white privileged people to come over here? I'm just asking. I'm just asking for a friend. You know, let's talk a little bit about what has happened. And here come the feds. The federal government is now in trouble. The feds say that Texas discriminated against communities of color when it denied Houston flood aid. Well, sign up. Listen, listen. A Texas agency discriminated against communities of color when it denied more than $1 billion in federal relief funds sought by Houston and Harris County to help the hard-hit areas recover from Hurricane Harvey, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development found out. The Texas General Land Office, the agency charged with distributing approximately $2 billion in federal funds for future flood preparation, initially awarded Houston and Harris County nothing when deciding where to send the money. It's because they have a black mayor. Come on, Mayor Turner. And at the time, local officials blasted the state agency headed by land commissioner, who none other than George P. Bush, for denying much needed aid and called out the federal government to intervene. Well, let me see. Bush, who was born in Houston, is in the middle of a fierce runoff in the Republican primary for Texas Attorney General against incumbent Ken Paxton. Ken Paxton, you need to go. I mean, for various reasons. But during the race, several of Bush's opponents have criticized his office works in distributing the relief funds. Despite making it into the runoff, Bush placed third in his Harris County in the March 1 primary. Anyway, let me just tell you something. Now, when it comes to relief fund, there's corruption at every level. Apparently, the feds went into Lena Hidalgo's office last week and raided it for her allegedly, well, I guess she didn't allegedly, she tried to give a contract to a company that did not qualify to receive the contract when other companies that bid for it, okay, she tried to give the contract out in a bid. Other companies bid for it that were much more qualified than the company that she gave it to. Well, when the investigative journalists started talking about it, people started talking about word on the street, then Lena Hidalgo said, well, I'm going to go ahead and pull out that contract. Well, the feds were watching and the feds were listening. So last week, Lena Hidalgo's office got raided by the feds. They took out all the documents related to those contracts. Well, unfortunately, I'm thinking possibly that Mayor Turner may be in some deep water as well, because he did the same thing. But unlike Lena Hidalgo, who decided to go ahead and scrap that contract, Mayor Turner kept on with his contract that he gave out to his former law partner, where his law partner was to receive, some millions of dollars. Well, it looks like the feds may be interested in what went on with that too. Unfortunately, no matter whether you have Democrats in power or Republicans in power, there's corruption or would be or possible corruption at every level. It's quite possible that there's one of two things that it could have been. It could have been racism as to why Harris County was not given any of that flood aid from the federal government. It could have been that they just don't like that there's a Democrat in power. They don't like that they have a black mayor. Or it could have been like, well, we see that Lena Hidalgo is possibly a scandalous person and that Mayor Turner is possibly a scandalous person. And they just want to give out bids to people that they know that are not deserving because they're either their law partner or their friends. Well, lo and behold, it looks like the company that was getting all these alleged bids were from some minuscule company that was officing out of an apartment, getting like $12 million. I don't know if it was like $12 million worth of bids. She's a black woman, y'all. Of course, she's a black woman. Getting all these bids. And then she didn't have, I mean, you know what? You know, here's what I hope happens. And I don't mean to sound snide or crass, but I'm an equal opportunity speaker. I'm going to tell you if you're doing wrong. And let me tell you, Harris County Democrats, if you've been doing wrong with this ballot harvesting, if there has been a whole lot out there about our commissioner, Rodney Ellis, and possibly being the man in charge of all the ballot harvesting for years, that the Republicans seem to believe, the conservative party seems to believe that Rodney Ellis has single-handedly gotten every black person ever elected in Harris County. I don't believe that, but that's what the Republicans have been saying. And apparently they have the feds' ear. Because, you know, it seems like the block is hot for all the people in power in the Democratic Party. And ballot harvesters, it seems like the same ballot harvesting companies that have been alleged to be ballot harvesters have been used for some of the people that have gotten elected or made it past their primaries in this last election that we had a few weeks ago. Anyway, not needing to sprinkle just a little bit of shine on my show, it seems that if you come on It's Debatable with Attorney Nyanza L. Moore, you will be a successful candidate in your race. Because not only did I have the successful person or one, I'm not going to say person, a successful woman win Missouri City Council seat, Monica Riley. She came on my show and she won her campaign. And then I also had two of the candidates that were seeking the House seat 147 out there in Black Houston, which is Third Ward, Texas, which is what I call Black Houston, where they were running. We had two of the candidates on, Jolanda Jones, and we also had the second candidate,
Danielle Bess.
I bet she's going with her two names. Danielle what? Yeah. Danielle something Bess. Keys Best. Danielle Keys Best. She was also on my show, and they are both in the runoff for House District 147. Unfortunately, you know, some of in their candidacy, there's been a whole lot of muckety muck about ballot harvesting, about what's gone out. Because after that election, it was some 10,000 votes were found, y'all. Let me tell you something about cheaters. Honey, let me tell you. 10,000 votes were not counted in the election for Harris County, and the conservatives, and honestly, not just the conservatives, a bipartisan lawsuit was filed against the election board chairman. I don't know if she's election board chair or whatever they call her. Whoever was in charge of Harris County elections, she's got a lawsuit against her about what happened with the 10,000 votes, who actually won. It's just a whole lot of muckety muck. And you know, the Republicans messed it up at the state legislature in Texas when they changed all the voting rights to get black and brown people not to have the ability to vote. We already know that it was racist what they came up with, all these new voting rules. You can't get people any water or food while they're standing in line for 6 hours, which is racist. You take all of the places to drop your ballots in the mailboxes. You change them down to one location or something really dumb. In the fourth largest or third largest city in the country, you say, oh, we only got two places to drop your votes. I don't know if it's just two, but it's something like that. It's something really stupid. Anyway, Texas will always be Republican. The legislator in Texas, the Texas legislature will always be Republican. Gone are the days of, Governor Ann, I forgot her name. She was the Democratic governor of Texas a long time ago. Long gone are the days of Democratic rules in Texas, and systematically across the land in all of these Republican legislatures, we are having the uprooting of voting rights and uprooting of women's rights to do with what they want to with their bodies. And while you have the Republicans are doing two things that are helping me. Number one, they're keeping transgender in their place. That's number one. I agree with that. Number two, they're allowing women to stay women. That's it. And number three, they are, what else are they doing? Really nothing else. That's the only thing I agree with them on. And I just have to say that with the ballot harvesting, with the voting rights, we know that's all racist and Republicans. That's all racist Republicans trying to stop black people from voting because they already know that black and brown people are the majority of America. If you get together all the minorities, they make up the majority of America. And white privilege rule is scared of having any minority usurp their power. And that's why Joseph Biden didn't, by executive order, fix voting rights altogether. You hear me? If you had Joseph Biden is trying to appease the transgenders while at the same time not giving a crap about what happens to black voting rights. You see that? Joe Biden, I disagree with 80% of the things that you have done. You have failed the black population, kind of like Ketanji has failed the women population by not defining what a woman was when she was on the stand. I guess everybody ain't like me. You know, when I ran for office, the transgender people had a lot to say about me running. What I said, I don't care what you say. I'm not going to change my moral compass to go ahead and appease you just so I can win an election. No, I will not. No, I shan't not, if shan't not is a phrase, and I didn't. And I'm able to stay on my own moral principles and do what I think is right. A lot of people are able to be swayed by politics, and that's what you can't, that's what you don't want in office. You don't want somebody in office who is easily swayed. You want to elect those people who will stand on their word and be consistent in the way that they disseminate what they believe to be good and true values. Now, if you had elected me, you would already know that I'm going to stick up for women's rights. I'm going to stick up for black people's rights, and I'm going to stick up for gay rights, and I'm not going to be really sticking up for transgender rights. You got your own rights to worry about. You need to make your own, just like the NAACP, make up your own transgender ACP. Okay? If you listen, the Asian American Pacific Islanders, they have their own clubs. Black people got their clubs. Can the transgender stop trying to get in everybody else's club? Make you have, allegedly, you seem to have enough of your own group to make your own club. Please make your own club and get out of the Democratic Party. Please make up your own party and stop diluting what the Democratic values are. Because now you're making Democrats have to go to conservatism. You're making me have to think, do I need to vote for a Republican just to make sure I can, so I can keep my womanhood? If manhood was on the ballot, this wouldn't be an issue. But so long as womanhood is on the ballot, it's an issue. Okay, it's time to cut to commercial. You got, if you say ready, you don't have to get ready. You guys, I'm on fire today. I don't know if you can take it. I'm on fire, 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 fire. I am. I have to. The best thing about having a radio show is having the, and let me tell you, I have been approached by several producers that have asked me to be on reality shows. Even last week, asked me to be on new reality shows, help revive old reality shows that are going in the tank. And you know what? I used to entertain the thought, but now I'm like, I really enjoy having a radio show because I get to say what I want to say. I don't want to go back on television on any news program where I have to say what they want me to say or I cannot speak freely. I've never really been a person that cared about 99% of the people being in disagreement with me if I disagree with myself. I'm always in agreement with myself. And I'm always consistent. The Nyanza that you hear today is the same Nyanza that you were going to hear on the campaign trail when I was running for office. It's the same Nyanza that you're hearing when I was on Fox News for 3 years. I didn't change anything. The people around me changed. The people around me changed their positions. Let's take, for instance, Sheila Jackson Lee. She's our congresswoman, and she's been in power for 400 years. So when you think about her political views, she changed her political views to say that she was okay with the bathroom bill. When at first her and all the other black ministers were not okay with it. I don't know what happened to them and their moral compass. I guess it kind of teetered. But I just stand firm. I stayed the same. And you know, people say you have to evolve with your thought processes. Remember when Barack Obama, I said this a while back. I think I said this about a month ago on my show. Barack Obama, now you're getting to hear this on the outtake. You're only getting to hear this. They don't get to hear this out of Radio Land. If you're listening to me on the Waze or the TuneIn app, you're not going to get to hear this part. So the only way you get to hear the real tea is by following me on Instagram and Facebook on Nyanza Elmore on Instagram and Nyanza Elmore on whatever. Anyway, on all my handles, I'm Nyanza Elmore. But you have to understand that what you need is consistency. I remembered when the Democrats took over power in the 2018 election, and the minister of Second Baptist Church, Dr. Ed Young, made the comment that he was so upset that the Democrats won because the Democrats are the party of Satan. Yes, he did, y'all.
45 seconds.
Ed Young said the Democrats are the party of Satan. And I have to agree with him. He got a lot of backlash, but I mean, sometimes you have to consider who you're taking backlash from. Not all backlash is bad, baby. I'm just saying. Anyway, come on. Okay, so now let me see. Oh! I hope you all are enjoying the show today. I'm giving you a whole lot of fire. I'm giving you a whole lot of what I didn't get to give you last week when I was over there in the colonized area of Bahamas. I think the Bahamas were colonized by the British. Did the British leave the Bahamas or what they do? They keep on colonizing them forever? Probably. Anyway, let me see. What's my next story? Katanji. I don't really want to talk about Katanji anymore. Biden welcomes the hunt. Tucker Carlson already did that. Oh, this is good. Okay, let's see.
Let's see.
No, not just yet.
Another song?
Let's do one more song. Okay. Oh, did you see that? Zach Stacy arrested? Did y'all see that horrendous? This guy, let me see. See, the problem with the show is I can't show the video. Former NFL player Zach Stacy was arrested hours after the horrific video leaked about him. They knew his baby mama's white, and he beat the S-H-I-T out of this white girl. Let me tell you something. I don't know if I can play this video on my whatever. We'll have to just show it another time. Anyway, let me see. I'm going to let this last few minutes of the show be dedicated to the DEI. Okay. End that song early.
You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Let me play a quick job.
All right. Who's this singer? Beyonce?
Sierra.
Is that a new song?
Yes. It's on her recent album.
Oh, did she have a Beyonce had a recent album? I didn't know she did.
No, Sierra.
Oh, Sierra.
Okay. You ready?
Let's see her end early.
You are on.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this last few minutes of my show. Now, I began the show with DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, because over the weekend, I had the pleasure of moderating a workshop at my sorority's 90th regional conference. And it was fantastic. It was the largest workshop. It was very well attended. And we talked a lot about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And my take is, let me tell you some of the things. See, I was a moderator, not a panelist. I was a moderator because I set it on fire. Let me tell you something. And I'm going to tell you what I didn't get to say on the panel this weekend. You know, for everything that we believe is right. Now, we always like to see a black person in a position of power because we assume that that black person that is there is woke. By woke, I mean, now here's the thing. White people have decided to use woke in every sense of the word. Woke is only black, honey. Woke means black. When you're talking about gay woke, liberal woke, or transgender woke, that's not woke. No. When you're talking, black people came up with woke because we're the only ones who say woke because woke is slang, okay? He woke up. Girl, they woke me up. I was awakened. No, I was woke. So I'm going to tell you some of the things that, you know, when it comes to diversity and equity and inclusion on the plantation, my goal for this weekend's workshop was to make sure that I sent my sorority sisters back to the plantation reinvigorated and enlightened. But I want to give you a little sample of what white people think about black people and why we don't get into those positions of power. It's because of the lack of sponsorship. Now, when we have black people and we see a black person up in that position, I guarantee you when we saw Barack Obama take on his presidency of the United States of America, we thought that it was good for black people. It really didn't mean anything for black people. It just basically meant that we had a token that was being elected at a time in history when we thought that it was the right time, when white people thought it was the right time. Not really white people, because if you look back at the ticker tape, black people got Barack Obama the presidency, not white people. White people and white women in particular voted for the white candidate. They did not vote for Barack Obama. Black people got him in office. So when Barack Obama got there, Barack spent his entire two term of his presidency trying not to be black woke. Okay. Woke was not created during the Obama presidency. Woke came with George Floyd. So it took a black man being murdered on video by white police officers and having black and Asian police officers protecting the murderer while he was doing the murder. By protecting him, I mean saying keep all the people who wanted to help away. So when you see that, that is when America woke up and black people became woke. So they woke white people up as to what black people were experiencing on a national level. And one of the guests to the panel spoke up and said, you know, white juries are now woke and they're now finding in favor of the black and brown people on a different level where they used to not do it before. And, you know, these are juries that are all white sometimes that are fighting for the black folks and letting them off and doing all that kind of stuff, which is great. But that's not happening after George Floyd. It did not happen with Barack Obama. So with the Barack Obama presidency, what we saw was what it looked like for a black person to be in a position of power and then fail to elevate the other black people underneath them and bring them up. Barack Obama didn't do anything for black people. You hear what I have to say? Barack Obama did nothing for black America. He did not. He is not the man that got the nomination for the first black woman to the Supreme Court. He is not the black man who selected a black person to run as his vice president. He's not the black man who selected a woman, nonetheless, to run as his vice president. He's not the black man that made voting rights. He didn't protect voting rights by executive order. He didn't protect women's rights to choose. So Barack Obama did everything for gay people. He did everything by allowing Latino people to have the very first Latina woman selected to the Supreme Court of the United States. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? That Latina woman, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, or should I say Sonia Sotomayor, you know how they do when they act like they cannot pronounce our names? Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? That's exactly what Josh Hawley tried to do yesterday when he was questioning Ketanji. That's also what Tucker Carlson tried to do when he was talking about Ketanji. And that's the same thing that Sonia Sotomayor did with her Latin self when she mispronounced Kamala Harris's name when Kamala was being sworn in as Vice President of the United States. The very thing that black women have had to endure with white people not trying to pronounce our names correctly. My name is Nyanza. I don't go by any type of a nickname. I don't let people call me any modified version of Nyanza. I don't let them call me, only my mama gets to call me Nye. If you're white, if you're black, you gotta call me Nyanza because I want you to say all the syllables of this Kenyan name that means body of water, which is the same province in Kenya, the Nyanza province, which is where Barack Obama's father is from. Okay, so when you see a black woman having white men mispronounce her name on purpose, it's racist. And when you see Justice Sonia Sotomayor being the first Latino woman appointed to the Supreme Court of the United States by a biracial black president, his dumb butt, who should have appointed, listen, Ketanji should have been up there a long time ago, baby. A long time ago. We should have had 12 years, just like 12 years a slave. She should have already been 12 years on the bench. Okay? So Barack Obama did nothing, but it allowed for a white man, Joseph Biden, to appoint a black woman. So when black people get into positions of power, they don't fight for black people. Look at Clarence Thomas. I'm going to call him Mr. Coon of America. Clarence Thomas. Now, Kanye got in trouble for talking about Coon and all that kind of stuff when he was talking about what's the radio host TV show? What's the black guy's name? I forgot his name anyway. He's the black Brit who's on American television making all this money talking about American politics, saying that we needed to get off Kim. Well, here's the problem. Kim has been with black men this whole time. And white people have not come to her aid. But now that she's with Pete Davidson, because Pete Davidson is a white man, now all of white America needs to come to her aid and be like, oh, we need to protect him. Now y'all thought she was the thought of America at first, but now you don't think so. Okay? Remember what they said. If a black man goes with a white woman, she's typically not anybody that white men want. But Pete Davidson changed the game. After all the brothers went through Kim, they all ran through Kim. P. Davidson said, I'll sign up. I'll take a time around the turnpike. So now white America feels like they need to protect Kim Kardashian from Kanye. So they decided to ban or stop Kanye from performing at the Grammys. So now the Grammys, there's the black Grammys trying to have their own show. I'm down for it. Because didn't the Grammys go ahead and turn a blind eye to Lemonade when they did not give Beyonce Album of the Year, when they gave it to the white woman who only made a few songs that were even listenable? What's the lady's name?
Adele.
And Adele, and now she's gone to the brother side. Now she's dating a brother. See, the Grammys has been inherently racist from the beginning. The Grammy voters are all white almost. I mean, you got a few black ones in there, but their vote doesn't really count. It's kind of like the supermajority that the conservatives have on the Supreme Court. It's 6-3. It doesn't really matter if Ketanji gets on the Supreme Court or not. It's a 6-3 majority. The Democrats or the liberals will never win. So as far as I'm concerned, the conservatives will win for the next 45 years. You know, they try to seat the court to where they get to have the justices sit for a duration of time to protect their values. And actually, problem of the Democrats losing steam. The Democrats are losing steam because a lot of black people are changing to the Republican Party. I myself have been considering the Republicans for a long time now, a long time, because let me tell you, I don't like the fiscal nature of how they run their party, but I do agree with the way that they run their moral compass. We got some whole, see, the problem is I can hardly be a Republican because if you're a member of the Ku Klux Klan, you're probably a Republican. You're not a Democrat. So that's kind of hard for me to be like, oh, I can be a Republican when the Klan isn't the Republican. Just like the Klansmen can't join the Democrats because they have too many black people. So it's kind of like I need the transgender people to get in their own party so all the black Democrats who are very well aware of the moral compass that the transgender people bring, the moral confusion. See, because I'm not trying to have my morals be compromised with my politics. I don't believe that politicians have any space in talking about what moral issues are until you start doing this, all this gender bending stuff. And it's like the satanizing of American politics. You know, when Dr. Ed Young is the pastor of Second Baptist Church here in Houston. And when in 2018, the Democrats took over in Harris County and took over congressional seats, Ed Young, that night when his favorite congressional candidate lost and a Jewish white woman won the seat who was a Democrat, he said, politics is over. The party of Satan has won. And I had to, and I was like, oh, that was terrible when he said it. But I kind of agree with him. The Democratic Party, it was like the party of Satan. It was like, I'm pro women's rights. But abortion is kind of like, it's kind of like riding the moral compass. You know, you got gay marriage is like, it's not of God for gay people to get married. It's just not. You can say what you want to. I attended a gay wedding in a church in Houston before gay marriage was legal. And I felt some kind of way about it. I felt like, oh my, and I drug my sister and my husband to the wedding. So I was the biggest, I drugged my Christian family and my husband to the wedding at a church where two women were getting married when I knew it was wrong. I was like, oh Lord, I'm embarrassed. I was over there in the Montrose area at the Lutheran church. That was a gay church. And I was kind of thinking, now mind you, ladies and gentlemen, this was in 2007 or 2006 or seven. And I was like, well, I don't agree with gay marriage. I think it's morally wrong, but my friend is gay and she's getting married to a woman and I don't want to not be friends with her. So I went to her gay wedding and I felt all kinds of moral issues about it. And I got to be honest. I was like, oh my goodness, Lord. Lord Jesus, when judgment day comes, please don't get mad at me and say, what was wrong with you, you fool? You couldn't stand up for the Christian values. You couldn't be Christian in that moment. Because honestly, when I was there and I drugged my family there, they all felt bad. We all felt like we needed to take a shower. We were in the church that was a gay church, and the gay people on both sides of the aisle, it was women in tuxedos, like they were the men. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I said to myself, I have given up my moral position when I said that this was okay. And then it was a year after that is when it became the law of the United States. So before it became the law of the land of the United States, I attended the gay wedding. I felt all kinds of moral issues about it. I knew that I was going to hell for that. I said, God, when the day of judgment comes, God's going to say, you wouldn't stand up for what was right. And I said, okay, I'm going to hell. So then after that, my family was mad at me. My husband's been mad at me for the last 15 years over that mess. And then the person who had a gay wedding ended up deciding to get a divorce, a regular heterosexual. So I got a divorce and then married a man. Now, how that's all kinds of crazy. I know, but maybe she had an awakening that that stuff was crazy. I believe now that I've been doing a lot of reading of the Bible. I read the Bible. I finished the whole Bible reading, and I've been doing a lot of devotionals in the morning, and I am a Christian, and I'm led to think that I took part in something that I should not have taken part in, that was immoral on every level. So, you know, I'm like, now feeling like I had to repent over that. But now it's like, I made my mistake 15 years ago or 10 or 12 years ago, and now it's the Democratic Party as a whole has now allowed the transgender people to take over the party. And now it's kind of like Minister Ed Young said, the Democratic Party is the party of Satan. Because when you see Black Baptist ministers in Houston that 5 years ago were anti-bathroom bill, saying that you do not need to let men in women's bathrooms, period. I don't care what you're saying. It's wrong. They stopped that bathroom bill when we had a gay mayor, Anise Parker, saying that it was right. And she was trying to fight. And then they won. Then I guess some Black people wanted to stay in office and stay in power and be like, oh, we want the Democrats to support us. And then the gay caucus and the transgender caucus put all this money into Democratic candidates and poured all of this money into these candidates, so much so that they bought the party. And then the Black candidates and the Christian moral candidates who were heterosexual decided that they would rather win their office and pretend that they're okay with the transgender situation and okay with gay marriage, to where they decided, okay, we'll just go ahead and play along. We don't want to bring Christianity into this. We don't want to have prayer back in schools. Instead of having prayer in schools, we're now okay with having people shooting them up all over in the elementary schools. We're okay with that, but we don't want Jesus in school. We don't want any type of prayer in schools. But we want you to bring your guns to the schools and shoot up everybody. We want to make sure you don't say male or female now, because we want to make sure we can win our elections. It's more important that it seems like to be more important that the Democrats win elections than it is for them to stay on the side of what is morally right. And when you have a new generation of Americans, now I'm sure the new generation is like, oh, trans, this is fine. Everything is fine. Gay marriage is fine. You can see married people gay married people be like, okay, Ellen DeGeneres is fine. Well, fine for who? Who sets the rules of life? Who sets the rules on what's okay and what's not okay? Because if you read the Bible, and even if you don't read the Bible, everybody has heard of Sodom and Gomorrah. The word sodomy came from something. And when you look at the perversion that was preached about as what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah just like that and wiped it off the face of the earth. So I am hesitant to say that now I played my part in going to the gay wedding, and I made my sister and my brother-in-law and my husband go to the wedding. And to that, I had to repent and atone. I am so sorry, because I was found myself in that wedding ceremony looking at two women get married, and there was a Bible that the minister, the Lutheran minister, had in his hand. And I was kind of, and I said to myself, hey, is that a gay Bible or is that the regular Bible? Because, you know, I'm from Church of God in Christ now, y'all. I'm a Koji kid. So at the end of the day, you know, the way I was raised is very much women don't wear makeup, but all kind of crazy religious rules that really don't have any place in the Bible either. But I got kind of worried about my own soul when I thought to myself, I'm looking at a minister preach, we want God to bless this union, when that union was not made from God. And I just had to say, okay, man did not create the wedded union. That was created by God, period. So science created transgenderism and man created same-sex marriages. So I think that we should leave those things out of politics and out of morality and let the people have their own thing and just let them to identify as married. If you should not be able to get, I just believe that. I believe I'm on the conservative tip. You got to have God back in. God needs to come back, because otherwise, if we don't bring God back, y'all, I'm afraid the Lord will come back sooner than we hope. By that, I mean the second coming of Christ, y'all. I really feel like we are in the end of days, when they have wars and rumors of wars, when you have great famines, when you have God shut down the world at the drop of the coronavirus, just like that. You think it can't happen again? Every single place in the world shut down all at once. Only God can do that. You don't think he can do it again? And now look, we're on the precipice of a nuclear fiasco of a war because you have the Western powers trying to go into a war that has nothing to do with them, which creates a world war. See, Putin is making it a country to country war. Russia versus Ukraine. Russia versus Ukraine is one-on-one. When you have the United States and Great Britain and all these other countries and the NATO alliance trying to get in the war, that makes it into a world war. That is prophesied in the Bible, y'all. I'm not ready for the Lord to come back because I still got some more right living to do because I've been living right all the time now. I got some more repenting to do. I'm not ready to meet my maker just yet, but I am ready to correct my wrong of going to the gay wedding at the gay church up there at the Lutheran church. I'm trying to atone for that right now by standing up for what's right. And I believe that transgenderism is wrong. It's morally wrong. It's the science of man that has caused man to think that he can play God and man is not God at all. You better recognize. All right, I think I have to leave on that note. I hope you all have enjoyed today's show. If you felt that it was quite polarizing, it was meant to be. I hope that you were able to turn up your dial and turn down your dial when you needed to. I hope you just go out there and remember, faith, hope, and love. Of all these, love is the most important. Love everybody. Don't judge one another, but know what's right. I'm not judging you if you're transgender. I just know that you're not a woman. Carry on, ladies and gentlemen. Notice how I said ladies and gentlemen. And everybody else. Bye, everybody. Oh, yes, y'all. Let me tell you something. My husband to this day is so upset that I drug him to a lesbian wedding. God help my soul. And I told him, I said, look, I was on some, I don't know what was wrong with me back then. I had just had a baby. I just had Kennedy. She was maybe like 5 months old. And my friend was a lesbian, and she said she was getting married to another lesbian. I was like, I don't think that's legal in the United States. She's like, yeah, we're going to go sneak off and go fly to Rhode Island, one of those liberal states, and get married, and then come back to Texas and just be hiding the fact that we're married. And she's complaining that both of their families on both sides were anti-gay marriage. And I was like, well, girl, I'm your friend, and I did not pray about it. Let me just be honest. As religious as I thought I was at the time, I prayed about God to have blessings for Kennedy and bless my pregnancy and my new motherness. But I didn't pray about God giving me wisdom and going to this wedding because I just felt bad. I felt like I wasn't supposed to be there. I felt like what she was doing was wrong. But I felt like I didn't want to judge her. So I didn't want to tell her that what she was doing was wrong. I just knew that it was morally wrong in my moral book. Okay. Which is called the Bible. So I forced my husband to go. I told my sister, you need to just come to the wedding so that she can have some support. And, you know, her own family didn't even show up to the wedding. I was like, oh, my God. So then we're in the church. I thought it would have been like at like a civic place, but it was at a church, which I thought, oh, my God, do they have a church where gay people can get married in Texas when marriage had not been legalized yet at all? And then it was a Lutheran pastor. And he whipped out the Bible, and I saw the Bible in the back of the pew that was in front of me, and I pulled it out, and I thought to myself, is this, and I asked my husband, I said, is this the gay Bible? Because they cannot be espousing to say we want the Lord Jesus Christ to bless this union when this union was anti everything that the Bible was about. And so I said, I opened up the Bible and I said, well, it looks like the regular Bible. And then I closed it back because I felt like there was something morally wrong about the whole situation. And then when all the women came down as the groomsmen and they were all women in tuxedos, I thought to myself, there's some weirdness going on here that I had not ever seen, you know, because I was on the forefront. I think the first person I ever knew to attend a gay wedding, because there were no gay weddings in the United States. It was illegal across the country, except in Rhode Island or New Hampshire, whichever one of those little bitty small states that made it legal. So remember when Ellen and all those people were flying to that one state to go get married, and then they would go back to their own states and pretend that they were married, but they had the paper in the other state. Well, I was just being supportive of my friend, basing that on saying Jesus said to love everybody. but I didn't feel comfortable. Like, you know, one of the things that let me know that I had to come to terms with how I really felt about it all was because when it came time to, will I let the newly married lesbian couple come over to my house when I had this brand new daughter, because I didn't want them kissing and holding hands in front of my daughter. I know. Isn't that a crazy way of thinking? I'm just saying my realness. Now, mind you, this was 13, 14 years ago. But I was like, I felt some kind of way that me and my husband had the conversation. He said, well, it's one thing to have us go to the wedding as grown adults to know what the difference is between right and wrong. But it's another thing to have a same-sex married couple around our brand new daughter and have them do PDA in front of her and have her think that it's okay for two women to kiss. And then I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I never thought about that. So then I found myself in a bit of a predicament because I was like, well, you're right. I don't want my daughter to be confused about what is right and what is not right. Now, in my book, I still believe that being gay is wrong. I'm sorry. But I don't have any problem with gay people. I just believe that I got to meet my maker about the stuff that I've done in my past, my sins. But gay people have to meet their maker about the stuff that they continue to do living in sin. See, and I believe that there's a difference. I believe that you can live in sin continuously because you can't really ask God to forgive you for stuff and then still keep on doing it. I know sometimes you say, I lied. I'm so sorry for lying. Yeah, but there's a difference. There's a difference in living in immorality. Okay, I'm just saying. You cannot say that I am married and Jesus Christ is blessing us. I don't know. You can just tell me what you think. Because I think it's a bit of a moral conundrum that I was faced with when I had my daughter Kennedy. I was like, I don't want any gay men kissing each other on the mouth in front of my daughter. I didn't want gay women kissing each other on the mouth in front of my daughter. I didn't want her to see that. I wanted to explain what lesbian and homosexual was to my daughter on my own without her running around thinking that it was okay to kiss on little girls in her classroom. Call me crazy, call me conservative, call me Republican, call me whatever, but that's just the way I thought about things. And I still think the same way. I did not see my first gay person in my life until I was in high school in the 10th grade when my mom and dad drove our family to San Francisco. We drove past over the Golden Gate Bridge and we landed in San Francisco for a National Alpha Convention that was in San Francisco. And we got there like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and we drove through the gay part of San Francisco. I guess it's probably all gay. When I saw two men on the street walking, holding hands and kissing. And my mom even said this. She said, I said, Mama, look at those two men kissing. And my dad said, those are gay men. Those are homosexuals. I said, oh, that's all I had to think about it. They didn't say whether it was right or wrong or anything else. But I was old enough in my brain not to make that shit what I thought was morally right or morally wrong. I didn't think anything, two things about it. I just didn't think about it. It didn't affect me because I wasn't gay. You know, but now I do believe that with the dumbing down of morality and with the dumbing down of God and with all of these amoral people out there trying to tell us that we don't need to teach our kids what male and female is and that we need to teach them about what gay and transgender is in elementary school. And when you got these parents out there trying to make their kids not have a gender identity and trying to say that they want their kids to be able to identify as whatever they want to, I think those parents are leading their kids into an immoral purgatory where they don't have an identity. Because what I noticed is that when I look at some of the people that have issues, okay, when I look at these people, let's take, for instance, if you watch anything on Hulu, let me just be honest. If you watch Hulu, there is a show on there about this white woman that was it was either Hulu or Netflix called Bad Vegan.
Netflix.
So I watched Bad Vegan with my husband and I said, baby, do you understand? Now, last season, we watched a show about a whole bunch of white women that got branded in this sex cult. That they were like, this daughter of this celebrity, she gave herself a brand because this white man had gotten into her head and warped her head and you know, basically did a mind control. And then you got this white girl who let her husband, and I don't believe that she was mind controlled. I believe that she just basically took all of the investors' money and just wanted to live off the investors' money and didn't plan on doing anything. She's just a white woman with privilege. Anyway, so what I noticed about both of the group of white women who got branded, who branded themselves and this white girl in Bad Vegan, one of the things I noticed in these documentaries that they all stemmed from women who said, well, you know, I didn't have anything to believe in. I didn't have a belief system. You know, I finally found something to believe in. It's because they didn't believe in God. Agnostic atheist parents did not give them a moral compass based in faith. Okay, I believe that these white girls, and even to these sex cult girls that have been taken advantage of with this in New York City, where they got this new sex cult, and all these girls that were taken over by Jeffrey Epstein, these are girls that were not born with a moral compass that was taught to them, because they were not given any basis of morality that was based in faith. They were left to their own device in saying, well, you have to determine for yourself what you believe to be right and wrong. When actually, in religious teachings, they give you the blueprint of what is right and wrong. When you start determining of what's right and wrong on your own, you might be saying, oh, well, you know, having sex in an orgy style is right, and it's not morally reprehensible. Having, being a transgender, all of these gender bending things is right in some people's books, because they don't base their right and wrong in faith. When you don't base your right and wrong litmus test in faith, what are you basing on? What your mama and daddy think, or what you see on TV? You can't be basing it on that, because if you base it on that, then you'd be thinking, who's that guy who's the black gay guy that sings the Satan songs? What's his name?
Lil Nas X.
You'd be thinking that Lil Nas X is your moral compass. If you're looking into television to teach you what your moral compass is, you're going to end up in hell. I'm trying to tell you something right before we march down to the Easter and Ramadan. I'm trying to give you something that's going to save your souls. All of this, idolizing money, idolizing status, coming up with your own rules about what's right and what's wrong, all these things. Now, I'm not your Bible thumper, but at the same time, I feel like I'm going to tell you what's right and what's wrong. I'm not going to be the kind of radio show where I don't teach you why I don't tell you what I really feel. I feel like it's a disservice to have people lie to you when they say, well, I say this just for politics so I can be politically correct, but I really think this way. A lot of politicians do that. Because you got Barack Obama. Remember, he left his pastor that he'd been going with since him and Michelle had been together. And then when they told him, you better agree with gay marriage or you're not going to be the president, he said, okay, gay marriage is okay now. You got Sheila Jackson Lee and all these congressmen and women up there talking about, oh, gay marriage is okay. You up there doing everything for gay marriage. But you were the main one saying it was wrong about the bathroom bill. But when you decided that you wanted your campaign coffers flooded with money, you decided maybe I'm okay with gay marriage. So see, that's what happens when you allow politicians who lack morality and who lack the ability to stand firm on their belief systems for fear of losing an election. Who gets to win elections and lose their souls? Sometimes the people that are in the front are not the people you need to be following. You need to be thinking about this now, y'all. Now, I'm trying to tell you. Now, a lot of my friends, they're judges, and they're doing what the government says they must do, and they must preside over gay weddings. I'm okay with that, with you doing your judicial duty, but you have to think about it. Where does your moral compass come in? Do you agree that gay marriage is okay? I'm just saying. I don't believe that divorce is right, but I signed my name to a lot of divorce petitions in my day. Hell, I'm a divorcee, but I don't believe divorce is right. So, you know, I have to atone for that in my own right. But I'm just saying, some of these things out there, we all have our thing. Now, and I hope that your thing doesn't end up encroaching on what my thing is. And that's the only reason I'm on this trans kick, is because when transgender men start trying to act like they want these D1 scholarship that I know my daughter's going to get, I have a problem with that. I'm going to fight them all the way. I will fight them tooth and nail. I will get out there with a picket sign. Do you hear me? The same women, black women, are out there marching for Ketanji to be nominated out there outside the Supreme Court. It's the same way I will march against transgenders. I don't even care if it's only 3 people behind me. I don't care if you have a vagina or not. We know what a woman is. We know what a man is. Let's keep them separate. Bye, everybody.
Do your thumbnail?
I'm gonna do, let me do mine. I keep on trying to wrap up when I gotta do my thumbnail. Okay, hold on. Let's do the thumbnail. Can we do it on Facebook or Instagram first? Which one?
Instagram first.
I'm on Instagram, straight flexing. Okay, here we go.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Y'all know I forgot to wear my crucifix today. But that's okay. God was all in it today.
Okay, you ready? We're gonna hold it for 15 seconds on Instagram. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Now we're gonna do it on the book of face.
So just choose your pose and say bye.
Bye, everybody.